From KQED News, I'm Lauren Sommer. Among those who have openly declared their trepidation over the incoming Trump administration is a number of scientists. They're concerned that research could be defunded and progress on critical fronts such as global warming might be reversed. And that's caused some scientists to blur what used to be a very bright line between science and activism. KQED science editor Craig Miller talked with one scientist who's made the difficult choice to move out of the lab and into the streets.
What a beautiful crowd!
And a highly unusual scene. White-coated scientists gathered outside a major earth science conference in San Francisco last month in a public protest and a frank admission from one of them.
We don't want to be here. None of us want to be here.
That's Naomi Oreskes from Harvard University.
We want to be in our labs. We want to be in the field. We want to be with our students. We want to be doing the work that we were trained and educated and raised to do, which is science.
Trained in geology, Oreskes has become one of the nation's most notable science historians. And she sees this moment in history as ominous.
We have to stand up and we have to say that as scientists, it's not enough just to do our science. We have to get out and explain to people why this science matters to them, to their lives, to their jobs, to their communities, to their health and well-being.
Oreskes has written extensively about the tactics of climate science deniers and their motives. In December, the Commonwealth Club of California gave Oreskes its annual Stephen L. Schneider Award for Achievement in Climate Science Communication. I sat down with her recently and asked if she believes, as some declared at the rally, that science in general is under siege in America.
Yes, I do. I mean, one doesn't want to overreact, and as a historian, I'm always mindful of the ways in which there's a tendency to overstate the uniqueness of our present moment. But I think science is under siege, and I think some of the things that are happening now, we haven't seen things like this in the United States since the time of Joe McCarthy. And that's pretty worrisome because that was a dark period in U.S. history. So I think it's going to be really important for scientists and scientific leaders to remember some of the lessons of McCarthyism, remember that it's extremely important for us to stand together, to defend each other. We don't have to agree with all of each other's views, but we do have to stand up for the principle of independent scientific investigation.
6 years ago, Oreskes and co-author Eric Conway wrote Merchants of Doubt, which detailed how the fossil fuel industry co-opted scientists and bankrolled disinformation campaigns to counter warnings about global warming.
It comes from animal life, the oceans.
You might remember this national TV ad from the Competitive Enterprise Institute promoting carbon dioxide, the greenhouse gas.
Carbon dioxide. They call it pollution. We call it life.
But Oreskes says it's more than a vast corporate conspiracy, that the impulse to reject climate science goes to the heart of American culture.
We all know the adage that the government that governs best governs least.
Yes.
The idea that government is sort of tyrannical. The Constitution was set up to protect the rights of individual citizens against the government. So we have a long history of being suspicious about government. And, you know, there's a reason for that. I'm not completely unsympathetic to these concerns. It's one of the reasons that I now feel very strongly that we actually, to the extent possible, should try to use market-based mechanisms to address climate change. To the extent possible, we should use the least intrusive mechanisms that we can think of, the ones that maximize individual choice and freedom. But that's the crux of it, I think, for many, many people. And it's why the denial is attractive to lots of Republicans and conservatives who have a kind of innate suspicion of the federal government.
Some Americans have also come to see climate solutions as a threat to their lifestyle. A survey by the Pew Research Center last summer found that 6 in 10 Americans believed they'd have to make major changes to their way of life to address climate change.
Again, this is one reason why I always discourage people from using the language of sacrifice. I think the key challenge for us is to figure out how we shift our energy systems in ways that protect our prosperity rather than ways that cause us to be poorer. And this is really crucial because a lot of people want to imply that if we do something about climate change, it's going to cost us a ton of money. Well, it will cost some money, but the reality is not doing something about climate change will cost more. And if we don't act on climate change, we're all going to get much, much poorer. But that's not a message that the climate community, that scientists, that environmentalists have really communicated very well, in my opinion. We have some new evidence from cognitive science studies that if you can show people Like, if you give people competing sides, like people say there is climate change and then some disinformation, people get confused. They don't know what to think. But if you give them additional information that shows how and why this actually is disinformation, how it's a lie and a con, that can be very, very powerful, people, because then it can empower people to say, no, I'm not going to fall for the big lie.
Since the election of Donald Trump, climate contrarians have upped their game. Republican Senator James Inhofe of Oklahoma has vowed to stop the Environmental Protection Agency from, quote, brainwashing public school kids with climate science. And Trump himself has declared that nobody really knows if climate change is real. Oreske says that both teachers and scientists will need to rise to the challenge.
I think the scientific community is determined to try to increase its outreach to the rest of the American people, to do more to reach out to community groups. We've been talking about that a lot. I think there are millions of school teachers around this country who are committed to educating children appropriately and to resisting the attempt. I mean, you know, the brainwashing. I mean, this is what we talked about in our book. I mean, the brainwashing, the disinformation is coming from the fossil fuel interests and the right-wing ideologues who refuse to acknowledge that the market failure that climate change is. So, you know, we're going to have a fight on our hands. There's no question about that. But, you know, there have been fights in American history before. You know, I think we can get the message across, but it's very, very hard, and we are up against very powerful forces.
Meanwhile, as Oreskes and her colleagues confront those forces, 2016 ended officially as the Earth's warmest year on record. I'm Craig Miller, KQED News.
Support for KQED Science is provided by the Videz Family Foundation, the Gordon and Betty Moore Foundation, and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation.